Hi, I'm Christy Potter. I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and I'm going gray. This is the show about all the interesting, inspiring, and really amazing people who are out there every day making the world a better place. I'll get to today's guest in just a moment. First, I want to let you know that my website, ChristyTheWriter.com, is back up again, but it is unchanged right now. Apparently, the level of detail and changes and improvements and all the bells and whistles that I wanted was pretty extreme and hard to manage. Imagine that. So it is back as it was while the changes are being made, you know, backstage. Also, please remember that our sponsor, Audible.com, has a great offer for Going Gray listeners. They are offering you a free one-month membership and a free audiobook download, so you can try them out. Just go to audible.com/goinggray and get signed up. Okay, our guest today is Adele Park. She does the coolest series of audiobooks I think I've ever heard of. She sent me one ahead of our interview called When Marijuana and Reality TV Collide, Yikes. And there are several books just like this, and so I cannot wait to introduce her to you. Adele, thanks for joining us.
Well, hi there, Christy. It is wonderful to be on your show. I'm going gray here myself in beautiful southern Utah.
Love it. Love it. All of us silver foxes, we have to stick together.
Absolutely. And actually, I think the older I get, the more I enjoy life anyway. So a few gray hairs doesn't bother me a bit.
You know, I could stop the interview right there. I love that so much. I feel exactly the same way. I tell people the reason I let my hair go gray, I'll be 45 in a couple of weeks, is because I'm so comfortable in my own skin, much more than I've ever been at any point in my life, and this is what I look like now. So, hey, let's roll with it.
Sounds great.
That's how I see it. So tell us first of all, a little bit about you, about your background. You and I have a similar background in news reporting. Kind of give us a little bit of information about you and where you came from.
Well, I grew up in colorful Colorado, Boulder to be exact, and that probably accounts for some of the strange ideas I have. I did earn a Bachelor of Arts degree from Mesa College, and then I spent the next 20 years working in television and radio as a reporter, a news anchor, and an on-air personality. Then, in 2008, I formed Straight to Audio Productions, and I opened a recording studio in St. George, Utah.
Wow. So your first audiobook was called When Radio and Polygamy Collide, Jitters. I guess, was that a Utah-based decision to write about polygamy?
All of my books are set in the fictitious town of Naval, Utah. It is a polygamous-based community. And, yeah, if you're going to live in Utah, it's sort of like if you've got lemons, make lemonade. So I live in Utah, and I write about polygamous.
That's awesome. So tell us about some of the books that you've done. I mean, I have some specific things about the When Marijuana and Reality TV Collide, but tell us about some of the others in the series.
Well, I'm currently working on the third book in the series, and we are getting ready to release that this fall. But I began with Jitters, a quirky little audio book. This was about a radio shock jock named Nancy Neptune, who went to work in a polygamous community and gets into all kinds of trouble. And along the way, she finds herself befriending a mentally challenged polygamist, and she launches a rescue operation when she discovers that he's being abused by one of his nine mommies and neglected by the other eight. So that's how Jitters goes. Yikes is set in the same town, but the two books do not relate to each other. I'm sure you can understand how frustrating it is for consumers to like one project, but then realize it's part of a series and they have to go back and buy these other ones. So my projects are all standalone projects. They happen in a chronological order, but you don't have to hear any of the projects to understand the one you're currently listening to. So Yikes has a completely different setup. This is about a bunch of wackadoos who gather in Naval, Utah to participate in a reality TV show called Yikes.
Okay. And now this is the one that I have just been listening to. The participants in this show, there's Stephen Finch, and he's kind of the sweet stoner. And he develops a conspiracy theory that's about a rock band. I'm trying the Rectal Surgeons. I had to look. And Randall Smoot, a member of the gay mafia. You really jump in there with some really colorful characters, I got to tell you.
My stories are character based, and I write satire, so everything I do is really exaggerated. So you brought up the Rectal Surgeons. Stephen Finch's conspiracy theory is that Rectal Surgeons, while they are this notoriously raunchy rock band, in reality, they're actual surgeons posing as rock stars. And so he's trying to expose them for the upstanding family men that they really are. So I kind of took a different approach with that.
That is so funny. And then Randall Smoot, a member of the gay mafia.
So my audiobook, the participants are all participating in a reality show that is based on artistic performances. And so Randall Smoot, being a member of the gay mafia, his art is tearing down other people's art. So he goes in there and assassinates people's work.
Interesting. Wow. Now, this is, you write these and then I'm noticing there's a whole list of voice actors. So you write these and then everybody comes into the studio. That must be so much fun to have everybody, you know, reading what you've written and acting it out. What's that like?
It really is a lot of fun. It's like having the best radio station in the world. I get to pick my actors. I pick people I really enjoy working with. Not only are they great voice actors, but they're people I personally enjoy being around, and it is a lot of fun. And I did kind of want to jump in here because I know that you are also a writer, and a lot of people ask me, how do I turn my work into audiobooks? And so I'd like to kind of make a few suggestions. One of the things you can do is you can produce them yourself, like I'm doing. Now, I use Pro Tools, which is used by a lot of industry people. It's a really excellent user-friendly software program that I use to edit my audiobooks. But if you just want to sort of try before you buy, there are some things you can get online and download for free, such as Audacity or Cool Edit Pro. So if you just wanted to see, hey, I want to just kind of feel out this audiobook thing, see what it might sound like, but I don't want to spend any money. Well, download one of these programs, get yourself a cheap mic, and just do a trial run and see how you like it. That's actually how I began with my very first audiobook. I used nothing but a mic, a mixer, and a laptop, and I recorded almost a 10-hour audiobook doing that. So it's an interesting way to see if you like it. Then if you decide, well, okay, I really like it, but maybe I don't want to actually record it myself. There is a program called ACX, which is Audiobook Creation Exchange. This is a subsidiary of Audible.com, which is related to Amazon.com. These are all part of the same company. And this is a wonderful site where you can go, you can pick out a studio to do your audiobook. You can pick out a narrator to voice your audiobook. If you're a publisher and you're looking for titles to publish, you can go there. Writers can list their work for availabilities. It's just a meeting place for all types of people, writers, narrators, publishers, actors, agents. They can all meet on ACX, Audiobook Creation Exchange. And that way you can kind of name your price. You can shop for different actors. It's just an all-around great site.
Wow, that is really, first of all, I'm glad you brought up Audible because they are my podcast sponsor. So,
you know, I'm telling you this as a user, they pick up the phone when you have a problem. This is a company that is really easy to work with. I have nothing but great things to say about ACX and Audible. And I don't really have a reason to be telling you this other than I'm a consumer because they're not a sponsor of mine. I just happen to have had a really great experience with them and like to share that with people.
That's excellent. That's good to hear. So you pick the actors and everybody gets together and then they do this. Now, do they stick to the script of like exactly as you wrote it or?
They do.
You know how to.
And I direct it. And it takes place over a long period of time because I am a small studio, so I do all of the recording and editing myself. So we started recording Gadzooks, my latest audiobook, back in October, and we'll probably release it in September of this year. So by the time I record all of the actors and do all of the editing and then get it produced in audiobook form, it takes me almost a year. Now, lots of studios work way faster than that. And of course, if you go through ACX, these are people that do audiobooks all day long, and you can have a really fast turnaround if that's what you desire.
Sure. Now, do you work with some of these same people? Have you worked with some of these same people on the first two books, like your narrator, for example?
I have a basic core of actors that I hire back over and over and over because I think they're good talents. But sometimes certain parts call for certain people. And so, you know, I never close myself off to actors. For example, in Yikes, another quirky audiobook, we had an African-American character, so I needed an African-American actress. This was somebody I had worked with before on other projects, so I brought her in. But I have a smaller cast for the new audiobooks. I don't have nearly as many. So when I can hire the same people back, I do. It depends on what my needs are. So in Gadzooks, a comically quirky audiobook, which I'm going to release this year, I have a cast of 9 actors. That compares to 11 for Yikes. And I had a total of 17 voices on Jitters. Jitters was a little different because it was about a radio shock jock. And so because it involved radio, the narration pieces were actually newscasts. And I had sound bites in there. And so I had all these actors working on that one.
Wow. Now, it also takes a lot of, you have a lot of musical talent involved, too, it looks like.
In Yikes, another quirky audiobook, I have one character who is a singer. And so I think that in that particular case, she speaks the language of music because that's what she thinks about. So I did have 3 short musical pieces in Yikes because I thought that the character called for that. And that's one of the wonderful things about being an indie producer. I can just stick something like that in there. I don't have to follow a certain format. In a traditional audiobook, you've got 1 or maybe 2 actors who are doing the voices for all the characters. In my audiobook, each character speaks for themselves in a first-person narrative.
Interesting. Is it when you sit down to write, you write these to be audiobooks, correct?
I do now. So here's a story that I think you as a writer can probably understand.
Okay.
Initially, I wrote these as books. And then I tried to get them published, but I couldn't get publishers to consider my work because I didn't have an agent, and I couldn't get an agent to represent me because I hadn't been published.
Oh, yeah, I know the song well.
In fact, I was so eager to get a byline that I went to work writing in magazines just so when they asked me, have you been published, do you have a byline, I didn't have to put a big fat zero in there. But that still wasn't enough to put me over the top. And so I did some soul searching, and I asked myself, why do I even want to be published in the first place? And the answer was always the same, because I want these works to be eventually turned into audiobooks. And so in a supreme aha moment, I realized I could bypass the publishing industry altogether and just go straight to audio. And that's why my company is called Straight to Audio Productions.
I gotcha. That's awesome. My hat's off to you. I had the same problems with the agent editor conundrum. The same problems thousands and millions of writers have had the same issue as well. And now there's so much available to us to take things into our own hands and you know, not only create what we want to put out there, but publish it ourselves, retain the creative rights, retain the creative control, which is huge. What I think is interesting that I have discovered with my books, and I'm sure you are as well, is that after the creative part is done, the writing and for you the recording and everything else, then you have to market yourself and promote yourself. And I'm very curious to hear some of the ways that you have done that.
Well, one of the things that I did was I entered the Audies competition. This is sponsored by the Audio Publishers Association. They are the association for the industry. They're the most highly recognized one in the audiobook industry. And lo and behold, I actually won one in the multi-voice category. And this was pretty astonishing because here I had this wacky indie book that was about polygamous, and I was up against some pretty tough competition, including Room by Emma Donahue. She was one of the finalists in my category. Also, Great Works of Science Fiction was another one. And then there was The Shadow Effect by Deepak Chopra, and also The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. So, you know, how does Jitters fit into these notable titles? I don't know. And then come out a winner? I don't know. But in my mind, I wasn't expecting to win an audit, but what I wanted to do was to have my project listened to by people who were notable in the industry. And so I would encourage writers to enter writing competitions. They're oftentimes judged by the very people you're trying to make contact with anyway. So never discount writing competitions. They're wonderful. One of the other things that I always do is I produce a very funny YouTube video for each of my projects. In fact, we have a shoot on Tuesday to get ready for Gadzooks. And I, you know, what other form of advertising can you do 24/7 at no cost after you produce your piece, of course? So I have to pay for the production of my YouTube video, but then I can put it on the internet and it's there all day, every day. And very, very useful tool for me. And then I just did a bunch of quirky stuff, too. I submitted my own title to Jimmy Fallon, and he picked Jitters to be on his Do Not Read list. Got on the TV and lampooned my project for a solid 2 minutes, which in TV is eternity.
So it is. I love that.
I try and just kind of stay flexible and because I have a niche product, I have to be a little bit different in the way I market my products.
Sure.
So I have to kind of think a little bit outside the box. One of the things I do is a lot of radio interviews because I love radio. I love talking to people one-on-one. So that's another, you know, key element for me. I also have a blog and, of course, websites, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I just try and use social media as much as possible to let people know about my products.
And that's what I think is, getting back to what we were saying about, you know, not going through an agent or not even trying to get an agent anymore, is I think so key and something that I wish more people in traditional publishing, those agents and publishers understood, is that everything I've been told is that if you, you know, unless you're Stephen King or J.K. Rowling, the onus to promote yourself pretty much falls to you even if you are represented. So what are we giving them, excuse me for saying this so bluntly, but what are we giving them 10 or 15% for if we're going to have to do the work ourselves anyway? You know? And so for me, I think it just makes sense to, and again, what I said about creative control, you know, you're pretty much going to have to promote yourself anyway. So I say just jump in there, and especially with all the resources we have now.
It's never been a better time to actually be an independent, especially with ebooks, because if you don't want to put the money up front, you can do an ebook, and that really doesn't cost a lot of money. You may have to pay for some editing and formatting, but other than that, it's fairly inexpensive. So there really is no reason not to. And also keep in mind that nobody's ever going to care about your stuff as much as you do. So you need to take control of your own marketing. And I'm one of these people who thought, oh, I don't like the marketing part of it. Well, you know, I had to get over that because this is my reality. And if I tell myself I don't like the marketing, then it won't be any fun. And so what I've tried to do is say, hey, I love this. I'm talking to people on the radio. I'm out making YouTube videos. I'm doing all kinds of crazy things. And I do like it. So I think you have to do a little bit of self-cheerleading and maybe talking yourself into a better attitude about marketing. You know, a lot of writers really are in that same boat as me. This has been something that, and you know, a lot of people just don't want to brag about their own stuff, but you got to get past that too. You have to be able to tell people about your product, or if you're not interested, they're not going to be interested.
Yeah, that, oh, you are saying everything that I've been through myself, because I was the same way. I don't want to, you don't want to brag about it. You get sick of telling people about it. You start to think they're thinking blah, blah, blah. Here she goes again. And also, as you said, with telling yourself you don't like it, it's so hard when you're stuck in the creative process. Then you have to put on your marketing hat and think, oh, here. And I'm the same way. I kept telling myself I want to do the writing. I don't want to do the marketing. And now once I started getting into it, it is enjoyable. It's fun to come up with unique ways. I hadn't thought about Jimmy Fallon. I'm so impressed that you thought of a way, way to get it out there and to get your name out there and get your books out there and talk to people. It's fun. And it does it for me anyway. And I'm going to guess that you're the same way, but it renews my enthusiasm for my work.
Yeah. I have decided that being happy about it makes it a lot easier, and it doesn't have to take up your whole day. So I dedicate a portion of my day to marketing and then a portion of my day to, at this point, production. But mm-hmm. when I'm not in production, then I'm writing. So mm-hmm. when I'm in production, the only writing I do is for my blog. And the blog kind of keeps me in that daily writing mode, or, weekly writing mode is the case with my blog. Mm-hmm. I think as writers, it's kind of like a muscle that you have to sort of continually exercise, or you get flabby.
Right. Yeah, very, very true. Yeah, very true. I assume you have more ideas percolating in your head for these audiobooks coming down the pike?
I do. I have something coming up in the future, I don't know when, that probably would scare the heck out of anybody that's a parent that has heard my audiobooks. But at some point in time, I am going to write a series of young adult audiobooks. This is a genre I love. This is the genre that made me want to be a writer to begin with. When I was a child growing up in Boulder, I was introduced to a set of books called The Great Brain Series by John Fitzgerald. And there were these stories about these kids in Utah in the late 1800s. And these stories did something that books at that time were not really doing for readers my age anyway, which was putting humor into the story. These books were laugh out loud funny. And awesome. I think that that's something that's lacking a little bit in the young adult genre. And part of it is just because they're sort of, the teens these days are sort of into this dystopia type genre now anyway. I think I'm skewing to a little younger age, but I think young people want adventures, and they want laughter, and I think that these little stories I'm cooking up, hopefully will be able to deliver that to them. Now, of course, because I've gotten into audiobooks and because I have a studio, I will produce them as audiobooks. And that's something that I should remind writers of. When you're thinking about turning your work into an audiobook, there's things that you need to ask yourself. And first of all, the first question is my script actually going to work as an audiobook? So if you're reading your script, do you want to have one actor that reads all of the parts and then does all the voices, which would be like a traditional audiobook? Mm-hmm. If not, if you want each of your characters to speak for yourself, for themselves, then you've got to figure out a way to write that script so that it's doable.
Mm-hmm. These are more like an old time, like an audio, like a radio play almost.
Keeping in mind that the more voices you have, the more mics you need, the bigger studio you need, the more complex it is to mix it. With mine, my actors, because they're first person narrative, so each chapter is just one actor talking. And we have a narration piece that comes on, and then the actor, and he sets up the narrator, whatever kind of narration piece we have. And each of my narration pieces are very different from each other. So then the actor comes on and he speaks for that entire chapter. There are occasions where I have some crosstalk with maybe another actor, but that's not generally the case. That would be like an exception. So you need to think about your script in terms of, if you're going to go audio, how is this going to sound to the audience, and is my script or is my manuscript in a form to deliver that? Because you don't want to figure that out once you get into the studio. You should be ready to go by the time you get to that point.
Right. Yeah, I see that. What is it? I know audiobooks are becoming more and more popular. What do you think it is? What's their appeal? Give me some of the reasons that you think people like audiobooks.
I began listening to audiobooks because I drive to my hometown of Boulder, Colorado, which is a 2-day drive. And audiobooks make my trips a journey because I can get into the story and I'm not worried about a big long drive anymore. All of a sudden I'm listening to a story. So then I kind of got hooked on audiobooks that way. It's really hard to listen to an audiobook that's a novel just driving around town because there's a lot of start and stop.
Right.
But I have started listening to audiobooks in that way. But the ones I listen to in my car when I'm just driving around town now tend to be audiobooks about marketing and other things that are nonfiction that I can leave off at a moment and I don't have to worry about the plot. So yes. I listen to a lot of instructional audiobooks now just in my car. But when I'm on a road trip, I want a good novel. And you mentioned Stephen King earlier in the interview. His audiobooks are wonderful for a road trip because they're so long. The one that he wrote about the assassination of JFK was like 23 hours long, and it got me to Colorado and back, and I still had some on the back end when I got home. So I thought that was a pretty good audiobook because I only needed one of them.
Very much, very much. I personally have taken them to the gym with me. I put them on my iPod and listened to them like just a chapter or two during a workout. You know, and done that. And I love them as well. I really do. You know, I think a lot of people that are still stuck on paper and haven't made the jump to e-readers, they still like the idea of audiobooks for some of the same reasons that you mentioned. They can take them with them. You can't do that even with an e-reader. take that in the car. Not if you're driving.
So my experience has been that audiobook listeners tend to be people that already read to begin with. They're usually people that like stories, and so they aren't replacing physical books with audiobooks. They're listening to audiobooks in addition to whatever else they're reading, whether it be on an e-reader or with a regular book.
Awesome.
And that's not the case with everyone, but it tends to be with the people I know. They tend to be people that just like books, period, whether they listen to them or read them. They want to have that information. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so amazing, and it just makes me feel as a writer so good to know that how many different ways people can now access our work, you know, whether it's a paperback or an ebook or an audiobook. I think it's amazing, and it just makes you feel good, you know, to know that people can get your work no matter how they want it. You know, and for you, people are going to start following you as an audiobook writer. I love it that you're making this your niche. And, you know, I have never personally talked to a writer who wrote specifically for audiobooks. I'm just fascinated by the whole process.
Well, the scripts are a little bit different because I'm writing them to be spoken. And so when both Yikes and Jitters started out as novels, and so I had to completely rewrite them in order to get them into the format I wanted for audiobooks. Mm-hmm. With Gadzooks, I wrote that from the beginning to be an audiobook. So for me now, the trick would be going back and putting it in book format. Because people have asked me that, why not put it out as an ebook? Well, okay. They were never in that format to begin with, though, so it would require some manipulation, I think, to get it in that format.
A lot, yeah. And any writer who's ever had to go back and change a format or basically start over again, it's so daunting. You think, oh no.
Yeah.
You know, it is. But I think it's so cool what you're doing. I really, really love Yikes. I can't wait now to go back and listen to Jitters. I think it's just fun. Your characters are, Even the really far out ones are just so relatable, and you kind of find yourself just falling into, this must be the beauty of the audiobook, you kind of find yourself falling into, you know, the way they talk and the way they present themselves, and I think the actors are very good. The narrator in this one has a very calming voice. It just feels like, okay, he's reading me a story, you know, it just, the whole thing just felt good. And like I said, I was reading it while I was moving my home, and I popped it in onto my laptop while I was unpacking boxes. And as you said about your car trip, it made the whole thing go much faster.
Well, as you pointed out, you're doing something else while you're listening to the audiobook, mm-hmm. and I think that's the joy of it, because you can take a mundane task like exercising or moving boxes and turn mm-hmm. it into something that's kind of fun, or at least it takes the edge off it a little bit. It makes things just a little bit more interesting, because you can get into the story and then you don't think so much about all of those steps you're taking on the treadmill.
Yeah, exactly. And Yikes made, so I just wanted to personally thank you, because Yikes made my move much, much more enjoyable than it would have been otherwise.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And that actor who did the narration, his name is Steve Campbell, and he is actually the star of all of my YouTube videos. He's a delightful man on camera. He just has a presence with him, and I love working with him. He's just a very interesting actor. And so you'll be seeing more of Steve Campbell. We'll be shooting the new video on Tuesday, and I'll definitely be getting that out to people, and hopefully they'll find our new video to be very funny.
That would be great. Yeah, I love something about his voice. I want him to read to me all the time now. So so he gets my vote. Now, you mentioned your blog, your website. Put in a little plug there for where people could find more about you and where they can order these great books.
People can get Yikes and Jitters on both Amazon and Audible.com. So it's Adele Park, Yikes and Jitters. They're very long titles, but if you just remember Yikes and Jitters and you put that in the search bar, it will come up. But I do have a couple of websites, www.yikesaudiobook.com and www.jittersaudiobook.com.
There you go. Okay, excellent. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and for sharing your wonderful audiobooks. I hope everyone goes out and gets both of these copies so they're as excited as I am for the third one.
Well, thank you, Christy, and best of luck with your own writing career, and I'll be looking for your next project as well.
Excellent. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I'll be back here again on Thursday with another really cool guest, so we'll see you here then. And in the meantime, you can find my books on Amazon, you can find earlier episodes of Going Gray on iTunes, and as always, my home base is www.christytherwriter.com.